flower, but it's still good to be saved this morning. Amen. Turning your Bibles to Revelation 1. I like them old songs. Amen. I like it when somebody's singing about something they know about too. Amen. And I like when they put feeling into it. Amen. There's some of them songs in that book, it'll say right above where the key is, it'll say with feeling. Amen. And I think Baptists need to read that more often, with feeling. Amen. And it's good to be here this morning. And I'm sorry my wife couldn't be here. I don't know if she ate something last evening, but she just didn't agree with her. But she's got, there's three stomachs in there. There's two babies and in hers, so something just wasn't agreeing. So y'all just be in prayer for her. She had the flu last Sunday, so I don't like going anywhere without her. I married her to be with her. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. And she's a lot prettier than I am. She makes me look better, and I'm thankful for my wife. And I'd say this if she was here, but she had a good job. She was a teacher and making $40,000+ a year. She was a special ed teacher when we met, and she just said she was doing college one year at a time, just waiting for God to send her a husband. Before you know it, she had been through 5 years of college and teaching. Amen. And we felt like we was old timers when we got married. We was 24. I know that's just old maids and stuff, but I tell you, God set her there for me, and I believe He had me for her, and I'm thankful for her. She walked away from all that, and we don't have a house, and I'm not bellyaching. I love it. I mean, we do. We've got that big fifth-wheel camper, and we travel all over. Home is where the camper's parked. Amen. But she walked away from all that to live a life of faith, and I'm very thankful for my wife. And and you don't get nervous about that. The Bible said in Proverbs that her husband will stand up in the gates and praise her. And I'm gonna thank God for my wife a little bit today. Amen. And y'all just pray for her. Pray. Brother Jones spoke a little bit about it last night, but one of the babies is sick, and because they're fraternal, it shouldn't affect the other one. But we're praying. We'd love to have two babies to bring home. Some of y'all know our story, what we've been through in the last few years, but we really desire children. And y'all just pray that God will put the healthy baby's name is Emmeline. And we are praying that when this other baby passes, it'll be very soon, more than likely. We're praying that it doesn't affect Emmeline, and that Miss Chloe can carry her full term. And if you will, just band together and pray it with us about that. And let's read in Revelation chapter 1 this morning. It's the burden of my heart for this morning. I'm thankful for that preaching Brother Cody did this morning. And I'm thankful that God, Brother Cody and I, we were just a few months apart. We graduated the same year, and we didn't meet until last year in this meeting. But I'm thankful God's still calling young men my age. And it's a shame in our day and time. People are pushing their kids to be football players and basketball players more than they are serving God. And if you look, there's an age gap. But me and Brother Cody are considered young preachers, and I understand we're young. Y'all don't get me wrong, but there is an age gap. You don't see a lot of 12, 13, 14-year-old preacher boys anymore. A meeting last night would have happened 10 years ago. This front row would have been full of 10, 12, 14, 15-year-olds, and it's not happening. And we need to pray for these young men that God, they answer the call of God on their lives. Amen. Look, Revelation 1, I'll get the message this morning. Bible said in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. And I like verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. We're getting a blessing just reading this morning. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And the church said, amen. Verse 7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every very eyes shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, "And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead, and He laid His right hand upon me." That sounds a lot like the Mount of Transfiguration, doesn't it? Where John and Peter and James was there, and they saw Jesus in His glory, and it said they fell at His feet as dead. Is that right, amen? Yeah. "Saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." And everybody said, amen, and had the keys of hell and of death. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for the soul that's already been saved this morning. I thank You for Brother Cody preaching the Word of God this morning in the power of God. And I pray, dear Lord, no doubt, Lord, there's young people in this room right now, Lord, that we know of, dear God, that are lost and undone without God. We've been praying for them. Lord, there's other people in this room that's lost, Lord, that we know not of, but You do. Lord, I pray that as we preach this morning, that the Holy Ghost of God would not be grieved or quenched, and that He would do the work of conviction that only He can do. I pray, dear God, that You draw sinners under repentance. Lord, I know that You want to see sinners saved more than we could ever dream of. And Lord, I pray that You touch me this morning. Fill me with the Holy Ghost of God. Give me unction, liberty, and power to preach with power and unction. We love You, Lord. Preach that from Your heart to my heart to their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You. Might be seated. Now this morning, I like when I'm reading the Word of God, I like to look at things that are repeated. I find if God says something once, it's important. And if He says something twice, it's really important. Hey, but if He says something three times, you better look up and listen. Amen. And this morning, in your text, and you already noticed it, we said it together, but there was a word that kept being repeated in our text this morning. Now, you can get into the book of Revelation, and after chapters 2 and 3, and not that there's a lot of symbolism in 2 and 3, but there's a lot of things without, that you really have to dig into, and there's a lot of things that can be confusing if you don't have the rightly dividing the Word of truth. But this morning, I believe chapter 1 is very practical, amen. And when this morning He gives us three words, and that word is amen. And this morning, with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to preach on the three amens of Revelation 1. Now that word amen, and a lot of you know this, but that word amen means truth, trust, confidence, be it firm, be it established. And this morning, there's nothing more that I love, hey, when I'm preaching the Word of God, for some old saint or some young saint to rear back and just say amen. Doesn't it help you? Hey, it helps me. When somebody's singing a while ago, hey, I don't like to be quiet. Jesus saved me from hell, and I don't want to be quiet about it. Amen? And he was singing that ship ahoy, and I got to imagine in the ship of Zion, I got to imagine the captain saying, come on, son. Hey, I got to imagine him that day that I stepped onto the old ship of Zion, and friend of mine, I just wanted to say amen. Hey, because I want to confirm it. I want to say that's truth. That's right. Hey, you just go ahead and sing on, brother. Hey, you just go ahead and preach home. Hey, Brother Cody this morning, he said some things that stung, didn't he? Amen. And it's good to be stung by preaching. Hey, but even when it stings, I still want to rear back and say amen. Hey, this morning, my preacher says, if you don't amen truth, you don't deserve to preach it either. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, he had a service the other Wednesday night. He said it was dry as cracker juice at the church. He said he got all those preacher boys. Nobody was saying amen. He said he got all the preachers together after church, the young ones and the old ones. There's about 25 of them. And he said, if you don't say amen at least 15 times a service, he said, I'm putting you on probation. Amen. Hey, we need to get off our hands. We need to loose our tongues. Hey, because when we get to glory, that's not going to be a foreign word. Hey, we're going to be saying amen about some things. And if you believe the Bible, and I believe you do, we believe that the Holy Ghost penned this down this morning. We know He used the hand of John. Hey, but I believe it was just like this. This is John's hand, and this is the Holy Ghost's hand. I believe it was just like that. And friend of mine this morning, I believe that the Holy Ghost says amen about some things. I want to look and see what He said amen about. The Holy Ghost thought enough of these truths that He threw out here that He couldn't write another word. John couldn't write another word until he stepped back and said, amen. Hallelujah. Are y'all with me? Amen. Now, I preach fast. I preach fast, but I'm a skinny fella. Amen. I'm hungry. Amen. We got to get to lunch. We'll get there in a minute. Amen. I want to look at these three amens of Revelation 1 this morning. The first amen's in verse number 6, but I want to pick up reading in the second part of verse 5. It said, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father, to be him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And now this morning, that first amen in Revelation 1, that's an amen to redemption. Amen. And you say, "Brother Chris, what is redemption?" Redemption. That means that we were bought with a price. Amen. Redemption means to redeem something. On those coupons, some of you ladies like. Hey, there's this couponing phrase going on. But at the bottom of most coupons, brother, it says redeemable by. Hey, but friend of mine, hey, there's a redemption that's more than a coupon. Hey, when you go to the store today, hey, whether you use a coupon or not, if you go and buy something today, you are redeeming that product. Is that right? You are redeeming it to use it. You are redeeming it to use it for your need. Hey, but friend of mine, when Christ Jesus redeemed us, when he redeemed me as an 11-year-old boy, hey, friend of mine, he did not buy me to put me into bondage. He did not buy me to put me into slavery. He bought me to set me free. Hallelujah. And this morning I can say amen to redemption. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
You say, well, tell us about this redemption. I just like preaching on the blood. Brother Cody, I believe we need to preach more on the blood. Amen.
Yeah.
What about this redemption? I see it said in verse 5, "Unto him that loved us." I see the why of redemption. Why did he redeem us? Why did he buy us? And I'll get to the price he paid in a minute. Hey, but it just boils down to, hey, we can talk theologically. Sure. Hey, we can talk about all the depths of the Word of God. But I believe that verse sums it up right there, Brother Jones. Hey, that the reason Christ died, the reason he redeemed us, the reason he shed his blood, it's because he loved us. Amen. He loved me when I was in my sin. He loved me before I was dressed in a suit. He loved me before I had a King James Bible in my lap. He loved you when you had a track marks up your arm. He loved you when you had a bottle in your hand. He loved you when you was out there in the street. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 5 verse 6, even when we were yet without strength in due time, strength to do what? Strength to save ourselves. Yet when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man woman even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us. Amen. And then while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, I'm glad this morning, hey, that he saved us, he redeemed us, and it just boils down to it that he loved us.
Amen.
Said in 1 John chapter 4 verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his son to be the propitiation of our sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Hey, I'm not, well, glory to God. John chapter number 15, I believe it's verse 19, he said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Hey, friend of mine, this morning, hey, no matter how wicked you've been, no matter how good you've been, no matter where you've been, I'm glad this morning the reason he redeemed us, it just boils down to it that God loves us. Amen. He loves us. Amen. This morning, I see the why, and that ought to make you happy right there, amen. That'll make a Presbyterian shout, amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. But I see the why he redeemed us, but I see the way he redeemed us.
Yeah.
Now it said, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins," and I'm glad he put this part in here, "in his own blood." Now the way of redemption, amen. You say, "Brother Chris, what is redemption?" Well, friend of mine, Colossians 2:14 says, "Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us." A friend of mine, we had the law against us. None of us in this building or outside of this building could keep the law. There had to be bloodshed all through the ages. Hey, friend of mine, leading up to Calvary, hey, there was a law against us. There was transgression against us. That verse talks about
about literally in the old days, they would take and go out into the middle of the market, and if somebody committed a crime, they would nail up the handwriting of the ordinances against those people, and it was not blotted out, Brother Cody, until somebody paid that debt, until something happened, until there was a price paid. And friend of mine, there was a price paid at Calvary, and there was no amount of money, there was no amount of good words, there was no amount of good deeds, there was no amount of religion that could pay that price. The Bible said in Colossians 2:14, I'll finish the verse, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, taking it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And you know what He did? He literally took our sins and our transgressions and the handwriting of the ordinances which was against us. He took it off of our account, and He took it over there, and He put it on His cross, and He nailed it up there. Hey, you got a nail in one hand, you got a nail in the other hand, and you got a nail through the feet, and you got a nail holding that board up that said the King of Kings or the King of the Jews. But friend, there's a fifth nail in that cross, and it's holding our sin there. Hey, friend of mine, this morning, I'm glad that day on Calvary, He took my sin debt, He took my shame, He took the law that was against me, and He nailed it to His cross. Amen. He nailed it to His cross. You say, what's this way? Well, why is this blood so special? Well, I did a little bit of study. I'm no M.R. Dehan or anything, Brother Jones, but I've done a little studying. My great-grandmother lived to 97. They said all her vital organs was perfect. They said they were aged, but they worked well. Her heart, her lungs, everything, her brain. Been in a nursing home for years, just gotten weak. But a friend of mine, they said that what killed my grandmother, my great-grandmother, the reason she finally died, Brother Cody, is her blood died. Her blood decayed so much within her. Her blood was not replicating itself enough. And it eventually, that blood decayed in herself. Did you know this morning, if we looked into our blood this morning, every one of our blood, all of our blood is aging. It's decaying. You know why? Because we're flesh. Hey, we're mortal. Amen. Hey, we are dying as we speak. I know that ain't popular. I know that ain't fun preaching. Hey, but this morning, it's the truth. Hey, I'm losing my hair because I'm dying. I'm getting wrinkles because I'm dying. I have neck problems because I'm dying. And my blood is literally, our blood is rotting inside of our body. Every day that we live, we get a little bit older. Our blood, it decays just a little bit more. Hey, but there's one blood that's never going to decay. It's that blood that was touched with deity. Hey, He was all God. He was all man. And that blood that was running through Him, hey, they say that you don't get your blood from your mama. You get your blood from your daddy. And friend of mine, Christ had no earthly father. He had a heavenly father. And that blood running through His veins was the blood of God Almighty. And that day on Calvary, when He shed that precious blood, hey, that blood just, hey, it wasn't decaying then, and it's not decaying now. It's on the mercy seat today. Hey, glory to God this morning. I'm glad that blood, it's infallible. Hey, it's immutable. Hey, it's not decaying. It's eternal blood. Amen. It's holy blood. There ain't none of us in here. I know some of us is saved in here. Hey, but that means our soul and our spirit is saved. It does not mean this flesh is saved. And our blood's not even holy this morning. Our blood's connected to our flesh. And Brother Cody, my flesh, just like you told about this morning, my flesh is wicked. My mind, I fight my mind. I battle my mind. And then my flesh is dying. My blood's dying. I'm not holy in my flesh. And friend of mine, our flesh, our blood could not save us, but the blood of Christ, it could save us. Amen.
Amen.
If it wasn't for His holiness this morning, the Calvary would have just been another execution. But because of His holiness, because of His righteousness, because of His purity, hey, it wasn't just another execution, hey, but it was the sacrifice of all sacrifices. Hey, He redeemed us that day at Calvary.
Yeah.
You've heard this. But all through the Old Testament, we can go back to Genesis 3 when the fall of man, Adam and Eve kind of covered themselves with those fig trees, and God walked into the garden, and I don't know what kind of animal it was, and people might be presumptuous about that, but God shed blood to cover their sin.
Yeah.
But we know by the time Cain and Abel came around, there had to be more blood shed, and I believe Adam and Eve had been shedding that blood. You go to the Noah's Ark, what's the first thing he did when he got off that ark? He built an altar and he shed blood.
That's right.
All through the years, the altar's been crying out more. You get to Egypt, Exodus 12, and they had to put the blood on the doorpost. Hey, the altar's just crying out more, more. Brother Cody, they get into the wilderness, they build the tabernacle, and every year, that priest has to go in, and the mercy seat's crying out more, more, because we're committing more and more sin. And that blood of those doves and those goats and those oxen and those lambs, hey, that's just decaying blood. It's just earthly blood. Oh, but that day on Calvary, and when Christ shed His precious blood, and when it got up to the mercy seat, and when our high priest went in there, and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat, hey, friend of mine, for the first time in all eternity past, for the first time, the altar wasn't crying more. It was crying out, satisfied, satisfied, satisfied. Amen. Much more than we should be justified through His blood.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
We shall be saved from wrath through Him.
Yeah.
This morning, I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been, and I don't care what you've not done. The religious church kid needs Jesus just as bad as the drunkard in Chattanooga this morning.
Right.
Hey, friend of mine, hey, just because you grew up in church doesn't mean you get to bypass the blood. Hey, you can't get in by baptism. You can't get in by joining this church. Hey, you can't get in by signing a card or running through some prayer. Hey, there has to be repentance. There has to be faith. There has to be conviction until the blood will be applied. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, I see the way. I might get through this point. I'm sorry. I leave my watch up here not to watch it, to leave it. Amen. This morning, I see the why. I see the way of redemption. But I can say amen to redemption because of what happens after it. Look at verse number 6. Because of redemption, He hath made us kings and priests unto God, His Father. I believe it was quoted yesterday, but we can go boldly into the throne of grace because of the blood of Christ today. Hey, we no longer have to go to a man and say, here's my sacrifice, and here, take this, and so I can approach God. Hey, there's no longer a veil between us and God. Ain't you glad of that? Hallelujah. Hey, because good neighbor, even if we were in the Old Testament economy, hey, we're Gentile dogs in here this morning. Oh, but I'm glad the veil was ripped from the top to the bottom. Hey, when that blood was shed, friend of mine, and we've got direct access. Brother Cody, I don't have to, though I love it if you pray for me, but I don't have to go to you to get to God. I don't have to go to Brother Jones to get to God.
Right.
But because of the blood this morning, we've been made priests and kings, and we can go to God ourselves. Amen.
Yeah.
And you know what the Holy Ghost said? Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I say amen to redemption this morning. But nextly, I want to see in verse 7. Would you look with me in your Bible? Verse 7, the Bible says, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him in all kindreds of the earth shall well because of Him, even so. Amen. Now I want you to look up here at me, and I'm not being critical. Please don't think I'm being critical, and I don't know everything. But I've heard this verse preached growing up as the rapture of the church. And this is not what that verse is talking about. Now just bear with me. Number one, I know that Christ will return in the clouds to receive His bride. But friend of mine, He's coming back in the clouds for the revelation. Is that right? This morning, friend of mine, on that day that the trumpet's going to sound, 1 Thessalonians 4 takes place. Brother Cody, the only people that are going to see Him that day is the dead in Christ and the living in Christ. The ones that are saved, those are the only ones that's going to see Him that day. And we won't see Him until we get in the clouds. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. But I want to see this morning, since this is not the rapture, this is the revelation.
Right.
And the Holy Ghost, He writes it, and I want you to notice His wording at the end of this verse. He said, even so, amen. Brother Cody, in chapter 6, or verse 5 and 6, it's almost like he was excited. He could not wait. He had himself a shouting fit. He said, the Almighty that's forever and ever, and the King of God. He just had himself a time, and he said, amen.
Yeah, amen.
But now he says, even so, amen. It's almost as if it was a reluctant amen. Now this morning, friend of mine, That lets me know that even if truth stings, even if truth hurts, even if truth is not pleasant, we are still to agree with truth.
Right.
Somebody
amen.
Say amen right there.
Amen.
When the preacher's plowing my row, amen.
Yeah.
I ought to say amen.
Yeah.
When the Sunday school teacher's got my number and you think everybody's been talking to him, amen, I ought to say amen.
Amen,
amen, praise God. But this morning, I want to look at that revelation. The amen to revelation. The first thing I see, it said he cometh with clouds. This morning he's talking about Revelation 19. When the clouds are going to open up and they're down there in that valley of Jehoshaphat or the valley of Armageddon, whatever you want to call it. The Jews, they got all the Jews cornered up and the armies of the world being led by the Antichrist. They're about to wipe out the Jews. They're going to annihilate the Jews. They want to wipe them from the face of the earth, and all of a sudden the clouds are going to open up. Hey, friend of mine, hey, and during that tribulation period, that great the time of Jacob's trouble, hey, they're going to have something. Those Jews are going to have something. They're going to have 144,000 evangelists, but they're also going to have the Word of God. Amen. If you want to argue with me later, well, I'll take you in the Bible. But they're going to have the testament of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to have the Word of God, and they're going to have been preaching the Word of God to those Jews. And that day, hey, when the clouds open up, hey, they're all, oh, glory to God, I'm about to have me a spell. Hey, ever since the dawn of time, men have hated the Jews, the Gentiles have hated the Jews, they've been against the Jews. You look at the news today. We don't look at the news. It'll depress you. But you just understand that the world hates the Jew today. Hey, but friend of mine, there's coming a day when they think they're going to wipe them out. They think they finally got them cornered. But God's coming to rescue His people. And on that day, the clouds are going to open up. And He's not coming back as a lamb. I feel God this morning. He's not coming back as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion of the tribe of Judah. And that day, hey, they said that all the day that pierced him shall see him. That's not talking about the Roman soldiers, honey. That's talking about the Jewish people. Hey, those that had him nailed to the cross. Those that cried, crucify him. Hey, the Jewish people, for the first time as a nation, Zechariah 12 calls it in that prophecy. He said they'll see him, the one that was pierced in the household of his friends. And the Bible said that there'll be a nation born in a day. And I've got good news. Hey, there won't have to be a message preached that day. The Jews will look up, and they'll be down there in that valley, and they'll look up, and they'll see the Savior, and they'll see the Messiah, and there'll be a nation born in a day.
Right.
That's when it's going to happen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to God. Amen. That might not excite you, but there's been millions of Jews killed. Hey, the Jewish people, they've been good on God, and they've turned on God. And for the past 2,000 years, they've been walking around in darkness. They've always had the oracles. They've always had the good things of God. But for the past 2,000 years, there's been one thing they've been missing, and that's the blood. Hey, a friend of mine, on that day, they're going to realize who He is, and they're going to turn to Christ.
Amen.
Amen to the revelation. But it said that every eye shall see Him. I got ahead of myself right there, amen. But I sure had a good time preaching.
Amen.
Said every eye shall see Him.
Yeah,
preacher, I just believe the Bible. You know, technology today, I've got missionary friends in Papua New Guinea today, and there's still cannibal tribes in Papua New Guinea. Some of those islands. But Brother Jones, you know what he said? He said he's been to just about all those islands, and he's been about the Papua New Guinea area. He said in just about every tribe he's ever been in, he said they'll be eating grub worms, walking around in loincloths, if that. I mean, bones stuck through their nose. Some of them cannibalistic tendencies still. But Cody, you know what he said? He said every one of those tribes just about has got a computer that the UN's put in there, right in the middle of that tribe. You listening? Every eye. They said that they keep up with the trends and the fashions of the world while they're living in mud huts. You listening to me? 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we would have thought that was crazy talk. We didn't know how it was going to happen. But the ability's there today. You better believe when every army and nation of the world finally got the Jews cornered, finally got them the nukes pointed down there in that valley, you better believe everybody in the world is going to be glued to their television set. I can just about go to anywhere I want to on that phone right there. I can look up, Brother Jones, I can look up stuff. I can study things. I can research things on that phone. And everybody's just about got one now. And on that day, it won't be real hard for them to just pop their iPhone on. Pop their phone on and look. Every eye is going to be focused on that valley that day. And as the clouds open up, you know what the world's going to look up and see? We're going to be in Revelation 19 in a minute, and it'll be really fun to preach this. But the world's going to look up, and they're not going to see a hero. They're not going to see a champion. That day, the world's going to look up, and they're going to tremble.
Yes, they will.
For 7 years, the name... Hey, you know what Antichrist worship is? It's blasphemy against God.
Right.
For 7 years... the whole world has been crazy drunk over the Antichrist.
Yeah.
For years, thousands of years, God, they've mocked God and they've run God into the ground and they said He's just a figment of their imagination. Hey, the intellects and the colleges, they said, well, you can just believe on however you want to. Hey, and you can just do this. He's not really real. Hey, we've even got preachers in our day, or so-called preachers, that say, if you believe in Gandhi, just believe that. Or if you believe in Muhammad, you just believe that. You just believe whatever you want to get to heaven. And that's a bunch of hogwash. Hey, but on that day, friend of mine, they're going to look up when those clouds open and they're going to realize they were wrong, and they're going to be nodding, their knees are going to be knocking together. Hey, they're going to be wailing, preacher. It said in that verse, hey, that's the same language that Jesus used. When those people are being cast in the lake of fire, it'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And on that day, a friend of mine, of those that are left here, of those that are standing there, they're going to look up, every eye all around the world, and they're going to have those TV screens pointed, and they're going to have those cameras pointed, and on that day the whole earth's going to see them, and they're going to be scared to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you listening? You say, you preaching this on a Sunday morning? Yes, sir. You know what we're going to see? Revelation 1, we see what the world sees, but Revelation 19, we're looking down. Revelation 1, it's an upward view. Revelation 19, it's a downward view. And we're going to be saddled up right beside. Hallelujah.
Right.
We're going to be saddled up right beside Him if you're saved in white raiment. And our King's going to be riding. Hey, you said He's going to have many crowns. Hey, you ever thought He might be wearing one of your crowns that day He
right.
comes back? Hey, y'all just let me imagine, amen. But I'm having myself a time, amen. Don't shake my hand too hard when we leave. Hey, if I'm dreaming, hey, a friend of mine this morning, hey, we're going to return with our King. And there's not going to be a noob sent out. There's not going to be a sword drawn. There's not going to be guns fired. There's going to be one thing and one thing only. A sharp two-edged sword that's coming out of His mouth. And it's going to cut them down. Hey, He's going to step foot on that Mount of Olives. Hey, it's going to split wide open. Hey, friend of mine, on that day, hey, Christ is going to shed that blood down there in that valley. And the blood's going to be as high as a horse's bridle. Hey, and His people are going to rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah to God. When they see a villain, we're going to see a victor, amen?
Yeah.
Hey, praise God. But you know, that's the way the world's always seen Jesus. As a villain. Here's how I want to apply this. It said, all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. This morning, if you're here and you're lost, you've heard the truth this side of the rapture. If the rapture takes place this afternoon, the Bible talks about you'll be given over to great delusion.
Right.
And you'll believe a lie and be damned. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
Friend of mine, if you're not saved, this ain't something that's 1,000 years ahead of us. This is something that very well could happen this afternoon.
Right.
I understand there's a 7-year period, but the rapture could take place this afternoon. And friend of mine, I wouldn't walk out those doors today lost. You don't want to be standing if you make it through the tribulation. More than likely, you'll already be in hell by the time this happens. Be standing there that day. And once you know in your mind that it's Jesus and that you should be rejoicing, but because of you rejecting Christ and because you turning God away and because you wouldn't get saved, you look up and you tremble. Brother Jones, the first time I see Jesus, it ain't going to be a trembling, it's going to be a rejoicing. But there's young people in here, if they don't get saved, they're going to be standing there on that day and they're not going to be rejoicing in the presence of God. They're not going to be worshiping in the presence of God. They're going to be wailing in the presence of God.
Yeah.
Are you saved this morning? The Holy Ghost said, even so. Amen. Are your loved ones saved this morning? That last amen, and I'm not going to preach it all the way through, but it's the amen of the resurrection. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. That's the rapture. That's the revelation. I understand that he's talking about his burial and resurrection right there. But I've got confidence that if he can get himself up, he can get us up as well. I've always wondered why Paul said it in 1 Thessalonians 4. He said, I would not, verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. For behold, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even they which sleep in Christ will God bring with him. That's the faith right there. He's saying right there, he said, if Christ could get himself up, he can get those that are dead in Christ up, and he can get us up. Amen.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
He said, amen. That wasn't the Holy Ghost. I know the Holy Ghost told John to write that, but that was Jesus saying amen right there.
Yeah. Right.
Jesus couldn't even go no further without saying amen. This morning, can I give an invitation, preacher? Would that be all? I want every head bowed and every eye closed.